This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
Good evening.
Good morning.
What was that?
I don't know. That's how she sounds.
Oh. You know, this is true. I didn't know that she was live. She does it so well most of the time.
I agree.
Then I thought it was just like a bit that they play all day, like a recorded 5 minutes. But then once she messed up, and I heard her mess up, and I'm like, whoa. She's actually doing this right now?
Unless she was so lazy that she messed up and didn't even care to fix it.
The woman who used to do it was an Eagles fan, remember? And she was at the Super Bowl. And it was Austin, I think, interacted with her on Twitter.
Because she followed you guys.
Yeah.
Jane or something?
Yeah, Jane Metzler. Yeah.
Jane Metzler.
But and she didn't follow you.
She didn't.
I don't know why.
I only made fun of that voice because people make fun of mine. They're like, oh, Lante's here.
Just like Dan Patrick did.
Yeah, right.
Anyways, here's your weather report brought to you by the U of I College of Aces. For a more than meets the eye opportunity, you can visit them online at aces.illinois.edu. It's supposed to start raining in about an hour.
Okay.
Because why not?
You're right.
54 and depressing out all week, ESPN Radio.
And tomorrow's supposed to be nice, though, right?
Yes, 80 and sunny.
Okay.
That will be a welcome departure from what we've had so far.
Although, if you look over your top left shoulder at that weather.
Straight ahead, I'm sorry.
That's my bad. It's showing a little bit of rain tomorrow.
I see that, yes.
And I need to mow. Because enough leaves.
The last mow of the year?
Yeah. Enough leaves have fallen. Look, I am not the guy that goes out and uses the blower or whatever to get my leaves and then bag them up all pretty. You know, there's some guys that are just like, some guys, and what I mean guys and girls, that are just impeccable. They want their yard to be, that's not me. If I wait till there's enough leaves on the ground and then I just mulch them up.
Why am I not surprised that curb appeal is not at the top of Lante's priority?
Not at all. And of course, I've got my neighbor across the road, which I've tweeted out about because he's always mowing at 3 o'clock on Sundays when my Arizona Cardinals are playing. And I've joked with him about it, but his yard is impeccable. It's beautiful. And then there's mine, and I just let my leaves blow over to his. I just figure he'll take care of it. All right, it's The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise, and we have Josh Schaefer, Wisconsin writer for 24/7 Sports, going to join us about 5:15. We're going to talk Badgers and Illinois. It's game week. Before we get there, guys, where's the point spread now? I mean, it's been dropping, right?
It started out at 23.5. 19.5. At 23.5, down to 19.5 yesterday. Let's see what I can get real quick.
Well, and by the way, I've got like $20 left.
I'm going to have to pretend I'm in Indiana to look.
Oh, you do? You can.
Well, it won't show up on the Illinois one because you're not allowed to bet it in Illinois. So you have to switch to the Indiana version of the sports
book. Annoying.
But it still won't verify that you're in Indiana.
I can't place the bet, but I can look at it.
Got it. That's, even if it's 19, it's still too high. I'm sorry. It's still too high at 19. So we'll see.
Is it weird that I'm almost contrarianly skeptical about that? Well, now I'm starting to think about Wisconsin's up 28-14 at the start of the fourth quarter. Illinois gets a 3-and-out. There's just a late garbage run by somebody, and it's like
35-14.
35-16 on a safety or something.
I know what you're saying. I can see a way
where we get there with 21. It was the 23 that made me think.
Yeah.
They're going to have to win by 4 scores. Now they have to win by 2.5.
I know.
And so now I'm a little bit more hesitant about it.
What would be great is if you bet this thing at 23.5 and you took Illinois and Illinois took the opening kickoff and went down and scored. And all of a sudden now it's 30, essentially. You know what I'm saying? Because
you're giving yourself 7 points to work with. Yeah.
So you're already getting 23.5, and then Illinois scores the opening TD, and all of a sudden now you got like 30.5.
Plus, Wisconsin's offense, we don't know much about it, but I don't think it's going to be quick strike.
No.
So I wouldn't imagine that if you were up 7 or 10 nothing that you would even be worried about losing by 23 at that point.
College of Aces text line, John just asked if we saw the Penn State's basketball coach resign. Yes, we talked about that in the first hour. Pat Chambers has resigned. He's a friend of the show and not sure the reason. I'm sure something will come out maybe. Maybe part of him resigning is hiding everything that happened. So we'll see. We don't want to speculate, even though we did in the first hour. So, yeah, David Jones, who another friend of the show, he's been on our show before, reporting that out of Penn State. So, yes, Pat Chambers is gone as Penn State basketball coach.
I currently see VegasInsider.com list the DraftKings line at 19.5. Their consensus line, based on all that would be available if you could bet on Illinois in the state of Illinois, is minus 20. Now, I'll give you this tidbit. I mentioned some yesterday about the SEC's opening weekend, just kind of as a baseline and a barometer.
This was good.
There were four games with a spread higher than two touchdowns, so above 14. The underdog covered in all four.
Wow.
And okay. They had to have at least won one or two of them, right?
Mississippi State was 14.5 point underdogs at LSU. They won outright by 10.
Mm.
Arkansas was at home against Georgia. They covered by a point. Missouri, they were 28.5 point dogs. They lost by 19. And then Texas A&M was at home, 31.5 point dogs against Vandy. Vandy only lost by 5.
Wow. Oh, so they were, okay. Vandy was the dog. Okay, okay. Wow. Well, there you go. So we'll see what happens.
31.5 point dogs in their first week.
Keyshawn Vaughn meant a lot to that team.
Jeez, I guess I haven't been paying enough attention to Vandy.
Well,
good Lord.
He meant a lot to that team, let's be honest. The right guard is set for Illinois, and that is going to be Virtus Brown. He was battling Jordan Slaughter for the spot that was going to be taken by Blake Gerasotti. Am I saying that right? I feel like I'm saying names wrong today. So Virtus Brown, a guy that was a four-star kid, he comes in. He's going to be your starter on that offensive line. And, guys, you've got to feel good. I know it's still like even the coaches, Rod Smith said, look, you know, he looks good in practice. We'll see when actual game begins. But you got to feel good, Derek, knowing you've got so much experience on that offensive line. It's got to be easier, wouldn't it, you'd think, to join that line and succeed because you've got so many guys around you that have been doing it.
Yeah, a lot less pressure on you.
Yeah.
When you're lining up next to Doug Kramer, who's been around the block a few times. And we can point something out real quick on, okay, this is your assignment in case you didn't know. I'm not saying that Virtus Brown wouldn't know what to do, but that definitely helps. The fact that Virtus now, this is his third year in the program.
Right.
He's a redshirt sophomore. I mean, it's as a guy who was a very big deal as a recruit, was considered one of the top. I know he split between offensive line and defensive line as a prospect, but considered one of the best linemen in the class in general. Yeah, I mean, he's got the physical size. He's 6'4", 320.
Man.
On a line with Kendrick Green and Palcheski and Kramer. I mean, it's a good offensive line, and he should keep it that way.
Can they all come back next year? I know they can because of the COVID thing, right? They're all allowed to come back. Can we just have that happen, like Io and Kofi? How fun would Illinois football be next year if everybody decided to come back for one more year? I'm in on that, especially your offensive line. Woo! That would be huge. All right, here's what we're going to do. Take a quick break. Josh Schaefer, again, he covers the Badgers for 24/7 Sports. We'll talk to him, get the lowdown on Wisconsin. I'm anxious to hear about Graham Mertz. I want to hear all about Graham Mertz and find out what Josh Schaefer thinks of him taking over the controls from Jack Cohn, who, of course, is injured. We'll do that next. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Whoa, it's too early for that. Not at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. We are ready for Thanksgiving early.
I haven't even bought my turkey yet.
You will need a dependable freezer to put it in before you buy.
It's too early to buy the best pumpkins for my pumpkin pie.
It's not too early to replace that old range that bakes unevenly.
Got that right.
Hey!
I'm gonna put off replacing my microwave. Those Thanksgiving leftovers are a long ways off.
Better lock one in now at a great price.
Can I order it online and have it shipped to my house?
Have it shipped or installed online or come into the store. Our award-winning service and sales team is staffed and ready for the holidays. Get your Thanksgiving shopping done early and worry-free at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Great products are on sale now. If you wait, all you get are the leftovers.
I'm Mark Sheldon, your county recorder of deeds.
For 14 years, I also served as your county clerk. At that time, I never supported the merger of the recorder and the clerk. Why was that? Very simply, I actually talked to the experts in this area, such as bankers, title companies, and attorneys. They record $1 billion in property transactions each year, and most don't support a merger. My opponent claims that Cook County, quote, seems to be doing fine. Cook County has a 6 to 8 week delay in recording right now. In Champaign County, you can walk in the office and immediately get a document filed. 2 years ago, county Democrats told voters it didn't matter who the treasurer was. In 2 years, we've seen taxpayers get double billed and homeowners have their refinancing delayed. I want to make the recorder appointed rather than an elected politician so we can ensure professional administration in the future.
Paid for by Citizens for Mark Sheldon.
Paxton Hardware and Rental, located at 525 Market Street in Paxton, offers a huge catalog of rentals. Whether you're looking for a contractor, a do-it-yourself project, landscaping help, wedding rentals, or even party and event rentals like bounce houses, manager Scott Allen has what you need.
We have a really nice rental fleet. Our equipment we try to keep new, clean, in good operation, and at a super reasonable price.
Paxton Hardware and Rental, 217-379-3611.
You're going to get first-class, first-rate service here at Paxton Hardware and Rental.
Hey, Fighting Illini fans, what are you doing Friday night? Join the Pia's Tailgate, Illini football under the tent. Watch Illinois take on Wisconsin this Friday night at Pia's. Buckets of fun, including 1995 wings and french fries or 1995 strips and french fries. $8 pitchers plus brats, barbecue, pork, and more. Friday night, it's the Pia's Tailgate under the tent. Game time is 7 p.m. as the Illini play in Madison to take on Wisconsin. Catch all the fun at Pia's, 1609 West Springfield in Champaign. That's Pia's Sports Bar, 1609 West Springfield, Champaign.
William Hill Sportsbook is now in Illinois, making sports more interesting than ever. Download the William Hill Grand Victoria app to get over 86 years of sports betting experience in the palm of your hand. Sign up today with America's number one sportsbook and get a $300 risk-free bet. Use promo code LIVE300, 21 plus only. Must be physically present in Illinois. Terms and conditions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Download the app today. William Hill Sportsbook. Let's make it interesting.
This is Starla Carr with Provident Financial Group. With each election year, it's important to remember negativity and conflicts are common. Investors should realize future success depends on sound long-term investment strategies and staying the course. If you have concerns with your portfolio, we can help create a long-term plan that's right for you. Contact us today at 3017 Village Office Place in Champaign, 366-3456, or find us online at providentfinancialgroupllc.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Ask yourself, is there a better feeling than knowing you made a difference in someone's life, whether it be a child who has health issues or a veteran with wellness problems? Did you know there is an organization that lodges nationwide and one locally whose mission statement is to help children and veterans? Who are they? They are the Elks. To learn more about the Elks cause, visit elks.org or call 217-359-2497. One's efforts can make a difference to so many.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Long Tay and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
They should play this song when they do the bouncing ball, like when you're trying to find the ball and they're hiding it underneath the hat. See, that's another thing we miss this year at ballparks, not being able to go to baseball games and look out in the seventh inning after you've had three or four.
Makes it more challenging.
Five or six cold ones, and you're like, what?
You're more enthusiastic about the win.
Exactly.
Told you it was yeah. C.
Isn't it funny, too, like you'll be at Busch Stadium, and half the crowd will be like, yes! It's like, okay, great job, man. Great job. You won nothing, but great job. All right, it is The Drive with Tay and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise. It is time to get a little nitty-gritty with Wisconsin football, and we're going to do that with Josh Schaefer, Badger 24/7. You can follow him on Twitter. It's @_ Josh Schaefer, and that's S-C-H-A-F-E-R. Josh Schaefer, thanks for joining us, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I appreciate the spelling of the last name there. There's a lot of different ways to go at Schaefer. So you got it right. I'm proud.
And I actually attended school with a girl named Lisa Schaefer, and it was not spelled like that. So I thought, you know what? I better spell that. Josh, are you any good at the hidden ball underneath the baseball cap game?
I'm actually not that bad at it, I will say. So I grew up in New England, and I was a big hockey fan, so we used to do the puck underneath the helmet.
Yeah.
But, helmet shuffle. I was a big fan of that.
Okay, I will not mention my Blues winning the cup last year.
You just did.
I did do that out loud. All right, Josh, let's talk some football, man. We got Wisconsin and Illinois. I guess I'll start with a big picture one. It's just exciting, right? Our buddy Jeremy Werner, who you know, he gets to go to the game, and you probably are going to the game. It's just exciting that we're right on the cusp of actually playing college football in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's normally it feels so cliche when the players constantly tell us, you know, we're just happy for this opportunity. We're excited for this week. But I think you can almost see it in their eyes this week. They really are happy for the opportunity. And they're still nervous and sort of waiting for a couple of the players who said, you know, when Friday comes, I think it will finally hit me. When the ball's kicked off, I think I'll finally know we made it because of the season that they've had. But yeah, I think everyone shares that same excitement this year that feels bigger than most years. Like, it feels bigger than a normal September season opener. And maybe that's because it's a Big Ten season opener and not a non-conference team that's not that good. But I also think there's something special about football coming back this year with everything everyone's sort of had going on.
Josh, I know Lon wants to ask you all about Graham Mertz, but you mentioned something special. Jonathan Taylor was something special at running back. Now, I know that Wisconsin's been pretty much a running back factory here the last two decades, it seems like. So what can we expect out of the Badger backfield, and can they run the football still at a pretty high level without him?
Yeah, so it's going to be probably running back by committee, hopefully producing the same production is the goal. Because you can't replace Jonathan Taylor with one guy. No. He's a generational running back. He's probably one of the best running backs ever to play in college football. When you really look down at his stats, he totaled over 6,000 yards rushing in three seasons. It's pretty unbelievable. So with that, I think you're going to have two guys that are right now at the top of the depth chart that you're going to see a lot. Garrett Groshek played out of the backfield a lot last year on like third downs. He was more of the third down. I think he caught for more yards than he ran for. But they're hoping to maybe get him involved a little bit more in between the tackles. And then Nikea Watson, who's a sophomore and is a downhill runner, will probably get a heavy dose of the carries on Friday. He's about 5'11", 225, and is a little bit of a bowling ball going straight into the hole, which I think plays well for Wisconsin here because they don't need a home run hitter to come in. It'd be great if a home run hitter did come in and could do what Jonathan Taylor did, but that's a lot to expect. I think Watson is going to hit holes that the offensive line, which is supposed to be probably equally as good as it was last year, can create holes. And Watson, hopefully, for Wisconsin, could go, you know, 4 yards per carry, maybe close to 5 yards per carry, and really just sort of eat away at the Illinois defense with kind of a classic long Wisconsin drive and some decent chunk runs.
Yeah, you don't have to spell that out too clearly to Illinois fans. We've seen those before, right? Josh Schaefer is our guy talking Illinois, Wisconsin for Badger 24/7. Let's now move to the quarterback position. We talked about Jack Cohn this week, and I had read in some reports, in fact, I think one of yours, that said, you know, there's Wisconsin fans that are okay with Graham Mertz because he came in with a 4-star or 5-star look, and everybody's expecting big things out of him. But then you look at what Jack Cohn did last year, throwing a 70% completion ratio, 18 touchdowns to only 5 interceptions. You know, he's the game manager that works for the Badgers, no doubt a team that went to the Rose Bowl, but now he's hurt. So Graham Mertz comes in. Tell us everything you know about Graham Mertz. I mean, is he a guy that we're going to worry about, you know, running? Is he a guy that arm's going to throw deep once in a while and he's going to be on point? What do we as Illinois fans going to expect as we go on Friday night against a guy named Graham Mertz?
So Graham Mertz is defined as a pocket passer. I would say he is more of a 2020 pocket passer than a 2005 pocket passer, kind of like Jack Cohn, where is Graham Mertz going to come out and run the read option on Friday? No. But if the pass rush forces him out of the pocket, is he going to trip over his own feet or not be able to run for 5 yards? Also, no. He's moderately athletic. He can move, but what you should know about Graham Mertz is he has an arm. He has a very strong arm, and he likes to use it, and he likes to go down the field. So he was a four-star recruit out of Kansas. He was an Elite 11 quarterback while in high school and is the highest recruit, highest rated recruit in the quarterback rankings era that Wisconsin's ever had actually come to the school. So he's hyped up, and that's why Wisconsin fans are pretty excited for him to sort of see what he's got. Last year he played sparingly at the end of a couple games. He ended up 9 for 10 for 73 yards combined between those two games. I think he's pretty smart, which obviously will be tested right out of the gate. But I think from talked to his quarterback coach about a week and a half ago now and sort of found out what the prep was like for this year. He thinks the biggest thing for Graham was sort of getting the information overload last year while watching Jack Cohn.
Okay.
Now being able to hopefully take some of those tidbits and use them after having a full year to take those in, because obviously Illinois is going to throw a lot at them come Friday. I think the biggest thing is if Illinois totally sells out on either the run or blitzing Mertz and leaves those D-backs out on an island, he can definitely throw it long. And there's been a lot of highlights out of camp of him connecting on balls that go 50 yards in the air and end up in a receiver's hand that look pretty impressive.
Josh, one thing you wonder about the young and experienced quarterback is the turnovers. And I know that's something that Lovey is preaching, and they did a great job last year, one of the best in the country, if not the best, at taking the ball away. I saw you had an article today on Badger 247 about that. It seems like Wisconsin's definitely aware of Illinois' defense being able to take the ball away. So how do you think they're maybe approaching that, just kind of their consciousness of that's something that Illinois is going to try to do?
Yeah, I think that's why I hedged towards thinking, even though Graham Mertz could maybe run a couple more shotgun plays than Jack Cohn and try and stretch the field a little bit more, my guess is they probably don't go that way, especially in his first start in the first quarter, because you can sort of protect him in the Wisconsin offense. That's kind of what the Wisconsin offense is made to do, is to protect the quarterback and not put him in overly hard situations. The goal is basically to get to third and manageable where you could run or pass. You can still use the play action. As far as what Wisconsin has thought about the turnovers as a whole, I mean, offensive coordinator Joe Rudolph was pretty much in awe talking about the way Illinois goes after the ball. And I think Wisconsin kind of has to be after last year, right? Illinois gets three turnovers, scores 17 points total off them. Obviously, the two 10 points that came at the end there that ended up deciding the game. Wisconsin says they're going to be conscious of it, but I think there's an aspect of what Illinois does there as far as how they do get after the ball and the scheme that I think we're still going to see a turnover to come Friday. I think the biggest thing that will decide the game is, does Illinois get two turnovers and Wisconsin gets none, or do we equal out at two turnovers and then it doesn't really, it's not as big of a deal.
A couple more for Josh Schaefer as we preview Illinois at Wisconsin on Friday. Follow him on Twitter @_JoshSchaefer. Josh, switching to the defensive side of the ball for Wisconsin, they lose Zach Bond and Chris Orr, who combined to have, I don't know, 23.5, 24 sacks by themselves. Now, this obviously hasn't been a defense in the past, because the past decade, Wisconsin seems like they've been top 25, not top 15 scoring defense nationally, so it hasn't been leaning on just two guys. But how big is that loss, losing those two, and what do you expect from this Badgers defense going into this year?
I think it's a big loss in terms of the pass rush, at least anyway, right? And they don't have really an immediate fill for Zach Bond. It's going to be between Isaiah Green-May, who's a 6'6", pretty lengthy guy at outside linebacker, but hasn't played a ton of football for Wisconsin. He was hurt last year. He's a junior. Or a true freshman, Nick Herbig, who was the defensive player of the year in Hawaii last year and is supposed to be pretty ferocious. He's got more of a T.J. Watt-style play. Not saying he's as good as T.J. Watt, but that's his style of play and style of pass rushing. So we'll probably see a mix between those two on the opposite side. And then, opposite them will be Noah Burks, who's been around a little bit for Wisconsin, but isn't really that flashy pass rusher that they've had in the past. I think you're still going to see the defense look good, though, because I think really what the defense does well stems from defensive coordinator Jim Leonard, who obviously played safety at a very high level in the NFL for 10 years. And knows what he's doing. When you watch a lot of Chris Orr sacks from last year, he kind of just isn't blocked coming up the middle. And Chris Orr was very good and had a lot of talent, but sometimes if the linebacker's not blocked in the middle, it might be more of what they're drawing up defensively
than
necessarily what the what the linebacker's doing there. The guy to watch on Wisconsin's defense on Friday night is definitely going to be Jack Sanborn, though.
Yeah.
He led the team in tackles last year, was pretty much everywhere with Chris Orr beside him, and he's sort of expected to step up and be the leader of this defense this year, and I think as he goes, the Wisconsin defense is probably going to go as well.
On Twitter, @Josh Schaefer. Josh, I guess when we think of Wisconsin, there's so many things you think about, but especially that offensive line. And I know you lost your center, I believe, and maybe another. What does the offensive line look like? Illinois, of course, a little bit of a weak spot is what we fear will be that defensive line. Offensive line, Illinois is looking good with the four guys returning. But what about the Badgers' offensive line? Is it going to be the same typical five guys line up and just roll you over?
So the center loss was a big one. Tyler Biadasz was the best center in the country and is very good at what he did. And Wisconsin asked their center to do a lot, too. Their center doesn't just block the guy in front of them. Their center will pull out and get a linebacker, get involved in the screen game, kind of be everywhere. And so they have Caden Miles stepping into that position, who hasn't played a ton but has played some. The biggest thing for Wisconsin that they got back, so Wisconsin lost three offensive linemen last year, three offensive linemen that were contributors. But they gained back John Dietzen, who played, I think it was 36 games over his first 3 years, and then had sat out last year because of injuries. He actually thought he was going to retire from football. And then he took 6 months off, decided he wanted to come back, feels great, and is one of Wisconsin's best offensive linemen probably over the last 5 or 6 years, and he's now all of a sudden in at right guard. So I think they feel pretty solid about that group, yeah, and I think that that could maybe be a major factor in this game is if Wisconsin's line, which has a decent amount of experience,
sure,
knows what it's doing scheme-wise, can really eat up that Illinois defensive line. That's the kind of game that Wisconsin wants, obviously. They want to wear down Illinois, not really make it a shootout, and sort of run the ball as much as they can and dictate the game that way.
Last one for you, Josh. The point spread has been a big talking point around here. It opened at 23.5, down to about 19.5, I think you see right now. It's obviously no crowd there, replacing the quarterback, no Jonathan Taylor. What do you make of that? Is that a little too high, or is that something you think Wisconsin can cover?
I think it's too high. I think when Jeremy first asked me for a prediction, I might have picked Wisconsin by 17. But I probably had Illinois too low in points when I did that. I think I only had Illinois at 10 points or something. Right. And there's a chance that they probably score maybe more like 17 or 14 anyway. And I think the big thing, the big question mark there is if you think Wisconsin's going to win by 19 points, again, Illinois should have a respectable offense coming into this game, an offense that can score a couple touchdowns.
Agree.
How many points do you think Wisconsin's offense, replacing Jonathan Taylor and replacing the starting quarterback, is going to score?
Right.
At some point, I don't think they're going to score more than, you know, 30. 30 points seems like a lot. You have a bunch of new guys. They lost their top receiver from last year, too. So there's just a bunch of question marks coming into this game, as there is all over college football. I think a 19.5-point spread in a COVID year where we pretty much know nothing about these teams coming in, definitely, it seems a little high.
Do they play jump around still, and are you going to be jumping?
No jumping in the press box. We'll avoid that, but I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to see what the setup is. I'm sure it's going to be a weird Friday. I almost would hope that they don't play jump around, right? Wouldn't you think that's kind of like a sad moment if they play jump around and no one is jumping? But I don't know. Maybe for the team, they'll play it so those guys can kind of get wild and act like there's people in the stands. I think the whole environment's going to be weird. They mentioned one of the players said the artificial crowd noise sounds like when he played his high school state championship game in Camp Randall with about 500 fans in the stands. So I don't think it's going to be too loud on Friday night.
I think they will play it, and you'll have to give our guy Jeremy some grief because he told us yesterday that when he was there at Camp Randall, he accidentally had gone to the bathroom. And when they started playing it, he's like, oh, man, that was scary. That place was shaken. So you'll have to give him some grief on Friday night about that. Maybe even remind him to start the fourth quarter to maybe stay in his seat, if you don't mind, Josh.
Yeah, I'll definitely give Jeremy the heads up through the mask for sure.
Josh Schaefer, it's always great to visit, my friend. Badger 24/7. That's where you find his stuff, at underscore Josh Schaefer. Thank you so much, Josh.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay, buddy. Great stuff. Kind of a breakdown there of Wisconsin. Look, Josh did an unbelievable job, but he basically said everything I thought he was going to say about Wisconsin, right? Because it's Wisconsin, and this is what they do, and this is what you expect out of this team. Now, I agree with him regarding the point spread, and I agree with his logic there is, okay, they've lost all this talent on offense, and what is the ceiling of a Wisconsin football team scoring 30? Like he said, 30? So now you don't think Illinois can score 10 points when it was 23 and a half? I mean, I'm sorry, but if Illinois only scores 17 or 14 points in this game, I'm going to be disappointed in that offense. I think this is an offense that can at least get you 20-some points, and that's why I think ultimately this game is going to be a close game the entire way. I don't think this is going to be a Wisconsin jumps out 14-0, and the next thing you know, it's 28-3, and you're pretty much done. I think Illinois' striking ability on offense is going to make sure that this game continues to be a solid game throughout. Trevor's laughing at me.
Huh?
Oh, I thought you were laughing at me.
You have me on?
No, but I saw you smiling, so I thought you were laughing is what I was saying.
I was, I'm doing the podcast.
Oh!
And so I heard the part where I said, we have major breaking news, and both of you were like, what? So I was just smiling.
Yeah, because you scared me to death when you said that.
I had to tease it. I couldn't just tell you.
I totally agree. But no, I do. I honestly think this offense of Illinois should keep this team in every game, regardless of what the defense does.
Yeah, you want to go in feeling like you can, and definitely to cover the spread or have a chance to win. That's what you got to be able to do. Again, I think it comes down to Brandon Peters stepping up against a really good defense and having a consistent enough game. You look back in the first time they played, or the last year when they played, Brandon was 9 for 22.
Right.
Made some big throws late, but
yep.
Before that, he really struggled. And I think that Josh made good points about, I picked Jim Leonard first in our coaching
you
draft.
Did.
And we did have that way back when.
Mm-hmm.
When that was a thing. I'm sure they loved that over at Smith Center. But he made a good point that Chris Orr, 11.5 sacks, but he was coming free a lot.
Right.
And they do a really good job. Wisconsin, year after year, is one of the top scoring defenses out there. So
it's crazy.
But I totally agree with you with what you bring back offensive line-wise, quarterback-wise, Bay. Throw in Luke Ford. Come on. 14 points?
Yeah.
You got to be able to do that.
I totally agree. 100%. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I got to do some work. Yeah. I get to read Dick Van Dyke. Our appliances, are they giving you trouble or looking for something new? Well, then shop local at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. They have the items and resources to get you what you need now. Go to online at appliance-world.com. Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, best price and service selection in Central Illinois, and they have their 10-year protection plan. Anybody?
Wow.
Thank you. Check out the Champaign location just south of I-74 on Neal Street or online, I'll get it right this time, at appliance-world.com. Dick Van Dyke, we're back. It's the drive. Bang, bang, bang.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
We've all been stuck at home, looking at all the things we'd like to change about where we live. Well, Flooring Surfaces is here to help. The summer of savings starts now with discounted pricing on hundreds of the best floors around. Select in-stock hardwoods are cut by 50%. Double discounts on laminate floors and premium imported tiles start at just $125 per square foot. Flooring Surfaces stocks over 1 million square feet of flooring, so you will find a tile, hardwood, carpet, or waterproof vinyl floor that will freshen your space and save you money. We are a local business that's open to serve you in a clean and safe environment. Call 398-1990 to set up a personalized showroom experience or a safe in-home consultation. Then get ready to save with Flooring Surfaces.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop.
I'm
Flora Adams Williams, physician assistant at OSF Healthcare. It's that time of year when we need to get our flu vaccines. Every flu season is different, and influenza infection can affect people differently. An annual seasonal flu vaccine is the best way to help protect against influenza. Some easy steps to protect yourself from getting the flu or COVID-19, as simple as social distancing, wearing your mask, covering your cough, washing your hands with soap and water, or using hand sanitizer. Flu vaccine prevents tens of thousands of hospitalizations each year. For example, during the year 2018 and 2019 flu season, the vaccination prevented an estimated 58,000 flu-related hospitalizations. The CDC recommends a vaccine for everyone 6 months and older. Flu shots are available at OSF Medical Group primary care offices and OSF Ergo locations. For more details, visit osfhealthcare.org.
Westgate Apartments have spacious one- and two-bedroom units that are ideal for your living needs, with enormous closets, beautiful kitchens, bathrooms. It's a rental you've been looking for. Need some space to work out? There's a 24-hour fitness center and has all the equipment you need. The on-site laundry and internet cafe make daily living a breeze. Check out the newly remodeled units at westgateapartments.net. That's westgateapts.net.
Hi, this is Dan Moyson, president of Simplified Computers. COVID-19 has changed the way we work, study, and play. The virus is ripping across the country, but the little culprit will not win. Simplified Computers remains dedicated to helping you work safely. We offer in-store and curbside service 7 days a week. We are a one-stop computer sales, repair, and consulting company. Come see us today at 901 South Neal Street or online at simplifiedcomputers.com or at 352-5000. Simplified Computers, simply the best.
Green Street Realty is excited to share details about some of their newest properties. At 1007 West University, it's The Den. Close to the engineering quad, these all-inclusive units feature high-end finishes. At 309 East Springfield, Icon boasts a great campus location within walking distance to the grocery store and featuring a huge rooftop amenity deck. Check out View at 711 South 4th Street, featuring an on-site fitness center and a prime campus location. And don't miss 200 Vine Street, Urbana's hottest new location close to downtown. For more information on all these great units, visit greenstreetrealty.com.
You're moving to Texas. You've arrived, but your belongings have been missing for 3 weeks. Where is the moving company?
Be a horror movie, book your move with a local move specialist at Two Men in a Truck. You will know exactly where your items are. Two Men in a Truck can perform expedited moves. They don't have long lead times, and they don't put other folks' furniture on the truck with yours.
Ew.
Move your belongings safely. Visit TwoMenChampagne.com.
Are you tired of overpaying for steaks? How about looking for great steak deals? Well, look no further than the Long Branch in downtown Gifford. Let Donnie and his staff take care of you. Friday and Saturday nights, you get three different steak deals. Get two 12-ounce New York strips for $45, or try two 8-ounce fillets for $50, or combine the offers and get one fillet and one strip for $48. Also includes two salads up to four sides. Any place else? Well, it just isn't the Long Branch. Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 9.
Escape to the country at Curtis Orchard in Southwest Champaign as the kids enjoy the playground and the petting zoo and the country store at Curtis Orchard, featuring delicious apple cider, apple crisp donuts and pies, your favorite comfort foods made from scratch at the Flying Monkey Cafe. Come visit Curtis Orchard. Open now Monday through Saturday, 9 to 6, and on Sundays, 11 to 6. 3902 South Duncan Road in Champaign. At CurtisOrchard.com.
Scene Wilkes Lodge 2497 and the Urbana Police Lodge 70 have kicked off their annual Shop of the Cop Warm Coats and Accessories Monetary Drive. Monetary donations can be dropped off at the Elks Lodge during business hours Tuesday through Sunday, 3 to 8 p.m. or mailed to the Elks Lodge, 903 North Dunlap Avenue in Savoy. There'll be a special monetary donation collection day held on Friday, October 23rd from 9 a.m. until noon outside the Elks Lodge, located behind Old Orchard Lanes in Savoy. All CDC COVID safety guidelines will be followed. Elks Care, Elks Share.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
What's up, Danger? It is The Drive with Tay and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper.
That's my life, man.
That was a good breakdown. Trevor and I just got some inside stuff.
Hey, what? When it gets to be dark before the end of the show, how are people expecting us to have energy to last through this show every night? It's the hardest part of doing the show is when, now granted, it's still light now, kind of, but give it another week, and by 5 o'clock, it'll be, well, when does the clocks go back? Well, are we done doing that, or? I thought we were getting rid of doing that.
Are we?
I thought there was talk of that. That maybe they were going to.
November 1st, we're dropping back an hour.
So that means at 5 o'clock, it's going to be pitch black. And I don't know then whether to just put the blinds down and fool ourselves.
I just give up on life at that point.
Yeah, I do too. I can't do it. I mean, we joke, right? I know that's a serious thing, but I've always said that I do have a little bit of like winter depression.
It's called SAD. I have it.
Yeah.
Seasonal affective disorder.
Okay. Well, there you go.
When it gets dark or when it's just a dreary day, yeah. I'm literally affected by it.
Because if it's nice out, like tomorrow, 80 degrees, I mean, I'm like as wide awake as I've ever been in my life. But like when it gets to, I don't know. Whatever. I've dealt with this for 50 years. You'd think I'd be normal.
I don't mind leaving here in the dark.
Okay.
Because it's late. What I hate is like when you guys arrive. And it's getting dark. Like, we haven't even started work.
Right.
And it's dark out. That's what's...
Like we're working a second shift or something, or a third shift.
We kind of are.
Yeah, in that sense. All right, we got World Series tonight, Game 2. The Dodgers did what they needed to do last night, and boy, did they get a performance out of Clayton Kershaw, a guy that unfortunately kind of needed to speak for himself with his performance, and he did. He was really good last night. He was fooling Rays hitters left and right, had big strikeout total. I mean, Clayton Kershaw answered the bell pipes when, unfortunately for him, a guy that has been so dominant his entire career, unfortunately for him, he's had a few hiccups in the postseason, but last night certainly was not one of those. He really was good.
Yeah, he was pretty lights out, and I know that he did. We talked about that strikeout total. He was getting the swing and miss.
Yes, he was.
No doubt about it. Made one mistake to Kiermaier, but it was only a solo shot, I believe. He escapes. He gets six innings, two hits, eight Ks, only gives up one run, only walks one. I kind of had that feeling.
Yeah.
Given another opportunity, because he could have easily been the GOAT of that NLCS. He goes out there down, and the Dodgers were able to come back and win in Game 7, but... Yeah, given another chance, I felt like game one start, he's going to come out strong. The Dodgers just a better team on paper.
No doubt.
Speaking of paper, they pay like five times more than the Rays' payroll.
We went over that yesterday.
Mookie Betts did his thing.
Oh.
Home run, couple steals. Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers are ridiculous. We've seen it all year long. I think the Rays will still make a series out of it. Now it's going to be important to win one of these starts here coming up when it's not Buehler or Kershaw.
Right.
So they need it tonight.
Do you know what's amazing about the human race is that Clayton Kershaw, what does he make a year? $30 million? Right? So
probably.
All of us should look at him and be like, I don't care if you never win a game again. You're making $30 million a year and living on the West Coast. Or you're living on a beach in L.A. But yet, do you know what we all did? Not all of us. I know there's some of you out there that didn't. Like you just said, Derek, we have empathy for him going into this game because it's like you don't want to watch the train wreck again. You don't want to sit there in the middle of nowhere, Central Illinois, and I don't mean that bad. I love it here, and watch Clayton Kershaw get beat up again because inside yourself, you're like, oh, no, I feel so bad for that guy. And in reality, you'd change roles with him in a second, wouldn't you? I mean, it's just amazing how we do that. As humans.
Yeah, it's not like he's super hateable or anything.
No, he's not.
I mean, he's a Dodger.
Yeah, right.
Was it fun to beat up on him a couple of times with the Cardinals and pretty much own him?
Yep.
Early on? Yeah, it was great.
Yep.
So there's that point where you're just like, okay, this guy's a little overrated. Maybe not the dog in the playoffs like some of the greats. But you look at his track record in the regular season, and he's as good as anybody's ever been.
Agree.
And it gets to a point even when you don't even like the Dodgers. Like, that's kind of feel bad for him.
The Dodgers are pretty likable for being a billionaire empire type of team.
Would agree.
Mookie's great.
Yep.
I don't dislike Kershaw.
I like Josh Turner.
Corey Seager, Cody Bellinger seem like nice guys.
Yep.
Justin Turner's really good. I can't think of, like, the one you know, a-hole on that team that everybody hates.
I'm with you on this, and I'm trying to figure out in my head if it's because they haven't won a World Series since I graduated high school. I think there's something to that. I think my hateability becomes more when a team continues than to just keep winning championships. And the fact that they haven't, I think, makes it for me a little more bearable, even though I know what their payroll is compared to the Rays. It's not fair, but it is what it is, and the Rays have proven that they're fine without it. They don't care. They want to be known like that. They want to be known as the team that evaluates, that scouts, that grows, and that's what they hang their hat on. So you're right, though, Trevor. There's not a guy on that team that you would look at and be like, oh, I hate him so much.
Even if it's just for being really good.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, people hate Acuna for being good.
Right.
Because he's flashy.
Right.
And I guess the Dodgers are flashy, but I don't hate Mookie for being good and flashy. He seems like a really fun, nice guy.
I loved it when he was on second base after the steal that got everybody tacos, and he's just out there joking around with the Rays' second baseman. They're having just a fun conversation. I'm like, man, that's kind of fun. All right, so tonight, Blake Snell needs to do what Kershaw did last night.
Can we mention real quick, though, the line last night that we texted about Joe Buck? When they're talking about Randy Arozarena and John Mozeliak's trying to defend himself, saying him and Tyler O'Neill were pretty similar. Felt like that was kind of repetitive.
I about puked.
Get rid of one. And then the response was, Libertor better be Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know Buck is plugged into that organization,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh.
His dad. So when he said that he talked to someone in that organization, I mean, I'm sure that's somebody notable, right? Who's telling him that.
Yes.
Not like the water boy who's filling up the Gatorade jug or something.
Yeah, but that was funny that Matthew Libertor better be Randy Johnson. Well, maybe he will be.
John Smoltz needed to stop talking about tacos last night.
Yeah. Can I tell you the funny
thing?
He's
good, but like,
right.
Just stop.
Trevor, we were here, and of course, you know the role I'm on, unfortunately, in the wrong way of betting. And so I told Derek, I said, by the end of the show, I'm going to bet this over under Kershaw 6.5. And so I go under. And I'm like, probably the wrong move, but at some point I got to catch a break.
That, by the way. I also bet that and lost.
Okay.
So
then after about 3 strikeouts, John Smoltz says, now keep in mind 7 is the magic number. John Smoltz says, well, he's 4 away from passing me in playoff strikeouts. And I'm like, no! Like, in no way does Clayton Kershaw have any idea that John Smoltz has this many strikeouts and he needed this many to pass him. But when you're on such a bad roll betting, you almost in your mind think, well, you know what? I bet Smoltz told him before the game, if you get 7.
And that happens a lot with me, I find. And it's revisionist, of course.
Yeah, it's a
weird
thing.
You're watching a game and it's like, you don't know, you're not privy to it pregame.
Right.
And so you bet, I don't know, the Nick Foles over on yards. And then the first thing they say with an infographic in the game is Nick Foles hasn't thrown over 250 yards since January of 2016. You're like, why the hell did I not know that half an hour ago?
Because you know now he's going to do it.
Yep.
Or you can look at it the other way and say, well, heck, he won't do it. It's just a funny thing.
Well, we had seen Kershaw's previous 9 playoff starts, he'd only gone over 6 twice.
Right.
But as Ken alluded to on the text line, we had looked it up. The Rays had the second highest strikeout rate. Yep.
You told me that.
In the league. And I know. And the plus money. It was hard to go over 6.5 at minus 170.
Right. Right. Yep. Well, then here's the other funny thing. I'm like, okay, MVP of the series.
I picked a few.
Okay. So I took Josh Turner. Justin Turner. I've said Josh Turner twice now. Here's the funny thing, Trevor. You weren't here, and I was kidding with this, but I said, well, I'll just take Kevin Kiermaier. He's the local kid.
Parkland guy.
And I was kidding. I mean, you know, he's not going to hit well enough and everything. So last night, Turner strikes out and then pops up and then Kiermaier homers. And I'm sitting there going, are you really this bad? Like, can you imagine Kiermaier going on a 19-for-20 scorched earth terror in the World Series, winning the MVP, and me sitting there going, I could have won $700 on Kiermaier. It's funny when you get into a funk when you're doing this betting. And I hope people aren't tired of us talking about our betting. I mean, we're just laughing at ourselves. But when you get into a funk, you literally, it's a mental game. And you're just sitting there going, I guarantee you that the Dodgers and Rays know exactly what I bet. Like, they don't care about winning the game. They just know what Lante bet, and they're going to make sure that none of that hits.
Well, we didn't loop Trevor in last night, but we had agreed. Tomorrow we do our picks against the spread for the NFL and college football.
Yep.
we are going to come with a show consensus for each game. So two out of three at least say this is our pick. And then all three of us are going to bet the opposite of that pick.
Okay. All right. Is that fair? That's,
makes sense.
Okay.
Fade the show.
Let's correct. We are going to, we have to do something to stem the tide of what is a horrific 10 days of betting amongst the three of us.
Luckily, game one does not make a World Series MVP more often than not.
Correct.
Unless nothing notable happens, and then Mookie probably just wins it.
Right.
But, you know, a guy who's done nothing the whole series, if he were to win it on a walk-off home run or something, he's probably your MVP.
Yeah.
So
I think you're right on that. So, but it's, you know what? Like, you guys always laugh at me, but I literally lose. If I lose big, I've lost $10.
Right.
So I like to do it just because it gives me a reason to watch every Turner at bat last night because I thought he would homer.
Sure.
Well, you know what I did? I've already bet Turner to homer tonight.
Wow.
Come on, kid!
I had Corey Seager because he's been on such a tear this playoff.
He has been.
And it was like plus 320, and I thought, gee, I don't know, the guy just won the MVP in the NLCS.
Right.
He just set a record for how many home runs in a series you could hit as a shortstop, and I thought maybe he does it again, but...
It's tough, man.
Alas.
It's tough. All right, tomorrow,
NFL and college picks against the spread, and Jerry Meyer, 24/7 Sports national analyst, talking Bryce Hopkins, Mac Etienne, and more.
Did you say we're going to talk Illinois basketball recruiting? That's all you got to say.
That's it.
And our numbers spike.
The 96 hours begins tomorrow.
You guys can go home. I got the overnight.
The Bryce watch. All right. Got to thank Josh Schaefer, Wisconsin writer for Badger 24/7. Good stuff with him. All right. Thanks for the next question, Trevor. We'll see you kids tomorrow. Go Rays. Yeah, why not?
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.